Honourable members, can we take our seats and we are about to start the meeting? Good morning, honourable members, and also to the Department of Social Development led by the DG, Mr. Busi Marusela. On the agenda, we have two items. Committee Secretary, any apologies?
Yes, Chairperson. I have an apology from the Minister who won't be with us. He has due to family bereavement. And the DM is also attending a cabinet meeting. And I have apologies from Honorable Makuba, which will just land it, and one from Member Kenya, who joined the committee after 10:30. She's attending another meeting. So those are the three. And Honorable Waters, he is in the Ivory Coast. He won't be with us today. Thank you, Chairperson.
There's no apologies for the other members. Right. So they are absent without apology. Thank you. Honourable members, we have two items on the agenda. That's briefing by the Department of Social Development on signed international agreements and the adoption of the committee report on the state-owned entities. The department will brief us on the signed international agreements, and then I'm going to ask Yolisa Nogenga to just take us through the second part, and we would like the department to remain for that one on state of the entity. Also, DG, with you and Dr. Okay, is there any matters that members would like to add to the agenda? Thank you. Without wasting any more time, we're going to the first point on the agenda. That's the briefing by the Department of Social Development on signed international agreements. This has been part of the committee's agenda since last year, DG. We are very much interested in the work that you've been doing on the international front. So without wasting any more time, I'll give over to you. I do apologize for the sounds around the venue. Apparently this committee room is situated opposite the cafeteria, and due to shortage of meeting rooms, let's just focus our attention, try to cut out the sounds. The walls are quite thin. It's like an American hotel room. So please.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Let me first thank you for inviting us to the committee to share with you some information we have on our signed international agreements. Social development is generally mistakenly regarded as an inward-looking department, which is not expected by some to have an international profile. But matters of social development are global issues which require us to engage with partners, with friends outside the Republic. As you will see, Madam Chair, in the presentation that we're about to give, our international engagements are primarily focused on the African continent, and the second layer being developing countries, and to the extent possible, the developed world. And that is the order of our prioritization in our international engagements with partner countries outside the country. our head of international relations, director of international relations, Mr. Ezi Ramaite, will walk us through the various engagements that we have, and in order to give meaning to this presentation, we will try and canvas some of the engagements over a period of time, and then give you a status report in respect of the current period and what the plans are with regard to the period that still lies ahead. I'm going to ask Mr. Ramaite, Chairperson, then to walk us through the park. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DG, and honorable members. I think we are not going to focus only on our signed international engagements, particularly because there are other areas that we are focusing on where we have been doing good work, particularly in our multilateral sphere. So in terms of the presentation, I'm going to focus on the strategic priorities. I will touch briefly on non-IR activities. I will touch on issues around governance. I will also touch on some issues that are beneficial to the department, and I will touch on the few challenges that are there. In terms of the presentation, as the DG has already indicated, is to provide an update to the Portfolio Committee on current international relations engagements in the Department of Social Development. We also work with SASA and with our provinces. Now, in response to government's strategic thrust of creating a better South Africa, and a better world, the department's international relations engagements are aimed at developing and nurturing social development partnerships through the promotion of bilateral activities that make the most effective contribution to poverty eradication. So we focus on the bilateral engagement until we sign the agreement. But we also focus on the harmonization and integration of policies through participation in multilateral structures. Those will be your SADC, your AU, and your UN organizations that I'm going to focus on. We also serve on a number of international social development organizations. Now, what then informs our day-to-day international relations activities? In determining our strategic priorities, the department is guided by the following. We serve on the ICTS cluster, that is the International Cooperation, Trade and Security cluster. Usually there we will get guidance, we will get direction on some of the countries that we should have strategic priorities with. For example, the cluster will say the country has identified China as a strategic partner, so all the departments should have something or some partnership with China. We also go through the State of the Nation address to look at where the president directs us. We focus on the minister's budget speech. Sometimes the presidency will invite the deputy minister or will direct the DG or the minister to go somewhere. Last time the deputy president invited the then minister to travel with him to Tunisia. And after that, we start developing some relationships. We also participate in interdepartmental meetings coordinated by DICO. And again, there we get directives. We also have bilateral and multilateral commitments. South Africa, as I've indicated, is a member of UN, SADC, and AU, and we're expected to play a role in terms of social development. Again, we also get requests from partners. As we progress, I'm going to indicate some of the requests that we always get from partners. But I think one important aspect is that 7 of our provinces border foreign countries. So it is always clear that we are going to share similar challenges and we should seek similar solutions. Now, this is a summary of our strategic priorities. Initially, we start with our bilateral engagements. Our relationship, say, with Lesotho should inform what we are going to do or to say at SADC level. Because you cannot just go to SADC and advance an issue without first conversing it with your bilateral partners. So our bilateral engagements are always important. We then participate in the African Union. I'm going to break down the areas where we participate in. We also participate in the United Nations, and we have partnerships with related to North-South cooperation. Now, in terms of our priorities, we have four major priorities that have been determined by the cluster as I've indicated. The first is the continued prioritization of the African continent, particularly because South Africa belongs to Africa, so it is always important that Africa should be our priority. And we have activities in the African Union. The department participates in the AU meeting of ministers of social development. These meetings are held every 2 years. And this year, the meeting was supposed to be in Sudan. We are waiting for directives from the African Union on where the meeting is going to take place. This meeting of social development ministers will look at issues around children, issues around persons with disabilities, issues around older persons, so that as Africa, as a continent, we are able to speak with one voice and we are able to harmonize our policies and programs. We also participate in the AU meeting of ministers for substance abuse and crime prevention and the AU population and development. The other major priority for South Africa and for the department is the issue of post-conflict resolution and support. Usually, departments such as the presidency and DICO will go for political resolution. But as social development, we should come up with programs related to post-conflict support. We have an agreement with Zimbabwe that we signed last year in November, and we have working groups focusing on children, on social security, on poverty eradication. What we usually do in these bilaterals is that we share and exchange documentation and experiences. We invite each other to conferences, and we agree on certain projects that we would want to cooperate on. With Zimbabwe, we are cooperating on the issues of unaccompanied minors, particularly because in areas such as Musina, Makado, you get a number of unaccompanied minors from Zimbabwe. So working with the province in Limpopo, we have established a committee. We have a cross-border committee where we sit down with our Zimbabwean counterparts. We are finalizing the standard operating procedures, which will inform each and every official, whether it's police, whether it's Home Affairs, whether it's DSD, that if you get an unaccompanied child, this is what you must do. And we're looking at having a national workshop and a regional workshop. We also have a cooperation agreement with the Democratic Republic of Congo. At some stage, we placed a team of four officials in the DRC, where they assisted in capacity building of more than 200 officials. And the focus was on project management, on human resource management, on basic office administration. We were also ordered by the two presidents to coordinate a donor conference, and as a department, we did that. Last year, we participated, led by the president, two presidents, in the joint bilateral cooperation with the DRC. And already we have approval from the minister to host a delegation from the DRC, where we are going to look at new priorities, to look at how we are going to cooperate with counterparts in the DRC. What is clear internationally for the current trend is that most countries are now moving into bloc formation. And as South Africa, we belong to SADC, we take decisions together, and we try and advance those positions together. This picture is some of the work that we did in the DRC. We were training senior officials working through Balama. This was a costly exercise because I think as a department we paid almost $3 million. Even though usually we try and work with partners so that we don't end up spending a lot. The minister hosted the Commissioner on Human Rights, where we elaborated on some of the things that we're doing in relation to human rights. Deputy Minister hosted the Vice Minister from Mauritius, where they wanted to learn from us on our community projects and on our poverty alleviation programs. And again, the DG hosted the delegation from JICA, from the Japan International Cooperation Agency, on the work that we're doing on disability. I'm going to elaborate on that. In terms of SADC, the challenge that we are currently sitting with is that SADC, in terms of social development, it's weak. Now, particularly because they rely more on donor support. However, we usually participate in various meetings upon invitation. Last year, the Deputy Minister led a delegation to Namibia to participate on youth and victim empowerment. In terms of strengthening South-South relations, we have the India-Brazil-South Africa meetings that we sit on. We have finalized the IPSA social development strategy, which we have shared with our counterparts. We have also finalized the implementation plan on the activities that we want to experiences that we want to share with India and Brazil. We already have a working group with India and Brazil, which focuses on community development, on social security, and on poverty eradication. Probably this year, because last year South Africa hosted the summit of the three presidents, this year we are probably going to host the ministers' meeting, and we will be participating in the working group on social development. In terms of our relations with the North, particularly because the North will always be important on issues around technical support, issues around benchmarking, we do participate from time to time in meetings where we are invited by the United Nations Education, Scientific and Cultural Organization. Last year, our senior officials participated in the Early Childhood Development Workshop, which was held in Russia. We also participate in the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which really support us in terms of policy, in terms of research, and from time to time we participate in the Working Group on Employment, Labor, and Social Affairs. We have a strong relationship as a country and a department with the European Union. We have a working group on social development and employment where we cooperate with the Department of Labor. We have a draft agreement which has been submitted to the EU. It's at the level of the DG, so our Director General is going to sign that. But the major focus is on cooperation on youth and unaccompanied minors. We are working with our Directorate responsible for youth and the Department of Labor to look at the possibility of putting in projects that can support unemployed youth. We also participate in the UN Population Fund. They have really supported our population and development unit in terms of capacity building. And either this month or next month, we are probably going to host the chairperson of the UNFPA. In terms of our bilateral engagements, that is strengthening political and economic relations, we have an agreement with Cuba, which went very well. We had a program called Masubazila Youth Pioneer Project, which was aimed at empowering unemployed youth. We had six professors from Cuba who were stationed in various provinces who were teaching these youth in terms of community development, community service, issues around integration. Unfortunately, that program came to an end, but most provinces have indicated that they are willing that the program should continue. We are looking at technical support to replicate the Masubazila project. We are also engaging the Cuban embassy to look at other issues, particularly because the agreement did not only focus on issues around youth. There were issues around community development, NPO support, issues around social security. But what has also happened with Cuba is that they've always invited us to their workshops. We've always invited them to their workshops. On the briefing that we're doing for the minister, we're proposing that the minister should go to Cuba to thank the Cubans on the cooperation, which went very well. We are cooperating with Japan through JICA. It's the Japan International Cooperation Agency, particularly on issues around disability. They have provided capacity building to our officials in Japan. Last year we had 4 officials, from 3 from provinces and 1 from national, going to Japan for capacity building on disability mainstreaming. Now they have donated 10 vehicles to the department that are going to be distributed to provinces. The directorate responsible for persons with disability had workshops on disability mainstreaming and on the Convention on Disability in all the provinces because of the support of JICA. And they are even now willing to work with us. The JICA program is going to be launched. We're just waiting for a confirmed date. And the program is going very well. Even this year, they've indicated that they are going to invite officials from provinces and national to go to Japan for further training. In terms of China, we have a statement of intent that has been signed with China. We are going to look at issues around social security and issues around the training of social workers. We've already hosted 2 delegations to share lessons on programs for older persons and on social security, and we also had a visit by the Vice Minister from China. We have agreements signed with Mali. Mali, the focus is on the training of social workers. We hosted their delegation. They went to the University of Venda, and we're also working with the University of Venda and our unit in the department and the CETA responsible for social services to see how we can assist them in terms of the training of either social workers or social auxiliary workers. With Mauritius, as I've indicated, we hosted their vice minister. They have sent a request for us to assist them, working with the University of Fez, to assist them with the training of Braille trainers. And we have a donor unit in the department, so we are looking for technical assistance on that. With Brazil, we were supposed to host the minister from Brazil for social development in February, but unfortunately, because of poor health, she could not visit. We expect to host her in the second week of April. The issue with Brazil is that we have been cooperating very well. We've got 2 agreements, 1 on social security, 1 on social development. We've worked well with them on issues around social security. They've always invited us to their workshops or to their conferences. Just in January, we had 2 senior officials going to Brazil on issues around poverty, because that is one area that we are working on well with the Brazilians. Already as a department, we have developed a strategy on poverty eradication, and we hope to get lessons from Brazil. We usually have their delegations, and we usually have our delegations going to Brazil, and we hope this document is going to be finalized. We will be presenting it to the Brazilian delegation for further advice. In terms of Mexico, again with Mexico, it's on 2 issues. We hosted their vice minister. It's on issues around social security and issues around poverty. Our social security unit is looking at hosting the delegation from Mexico, and we're just looking at issues around the financing of that. With Uganda, we had an agreement that was signed. We are inviting a delegation from Uganda, particularly because we have had a number of delegations going to Uganda to look at issues around HIV and AIDS. We even had provinces going to Uganda to share experiences on issues around HIV and AIDS. With Angola, we are working with Angola on issues around disability. Our director for on issues of older persons, our director for older persons visited Angola on their invitation for a workshop, and she spent a week there. Currently, there's nothing much with Chile. We had agreed with Chile and Mexico that we are going to have a workshop and share experiences on issues around early childhood development. But unfortunately, when they had that dreaded disease, we could not continue. But it's an issue that we are currently pursuing. With South Sudan, they invited our officials from SASA to share experiences on issues around social security. And it's a long-term relationship that we've been advised by DICO to pursue, and
currently pursuing that. We have a draft agreement that we are looking at. With Lesotho, we have an agreement that will be signed anytime as soon as the schedules of the ministers permit. But next week, we are going to host the Director General of Social Development from Lesotho. They have restructured their Department of Social Development, and they want advice from us. So our senior managers will be presenting, our Chief Director for Strategy, and all our senior managers, Social Security, NPO Collaboration, and Welfare Services. We're expecting a delegation of five on the 14th and the 15th. With Swaziland, our advisor to the minister was invited to Swaziland when they were busy restructuring their department. Ghana, we have a draft agreement, and we will have a delegation going to Ghana to look at some of their programs. Singapore, we had a delegation going to Singapore. They have very good programs in terms of families and in terms of older persons, and we're working with DICO to see where they can come in and assist us. Sweden, the minister hosted the vice minister of Sweden last year on issues around social security, and we are pursuing a partnership. But we are also working with Sweden to strengthen our youth program because they have good programs. Our Directorate for Youth has coordinated all provinces, and they have a committee that are working that is working on how they can cooperate with Sweden. Tunisia, Tanzania has a very good program on community development, and our minister has directed that we look at how they can assist us. With Tunisia, we have been advised by GICO to slow down. Already, our then minister, Minister Mulewa, had negotiated an agreement with a counterpart. But when Tunisia experienced political challenges, then we were advised to slow down in terms of our work there. As I've indicated, we also participate in a number of UN organizations. In February, the department participated in the Commission for Social Development. I think through this commission, the department has managed to place social development high on the agenda of the UN, because South Africa is the only country that has chaired the Commission for Social Development twice. Again, South Africa and the department in particular is responsible for negotiating on behalf of the Africa Group, the G77 and China, of negotiating the social dimension on NEPAD. This commission looks at issues around families, issues around persons with disabilities, older persons, and youth. We also participate on the Commission on the Status of Women. This year, the focus is on rural women and development. In April, we'll be participating in the Commission on Population and Development. Again, we have played a major role, and we take the lead for Africa in this commission. We participate in the Commission on Narcotics and Drugs, Commission on Crime Prevention. As I've indicated, South Africa has ratified the Convention on Disability. And what we always do as a department is to strengthen our partnerships with the UN agencies. As I've indicated, the agencies have contributed in terms of capacity building, but they've also contributed in terms of the development of international negotiation skills, because all our officials who sit in these committees or commissions, we are sure as a department that they represent the department and the country well because of the exposure and the experience that they've gained. There are a number of international organizations that we participate in. The first one is the International Social Security Association, where our Director General serves on the ISA board. Our DDG for Social Security also serves on some of the committees. Our Chief Director for Social Security also serves in some of the committees. I think we have gained a lot in participating in this organization, particularly in issues around capacity building, particularly on issues around advocating the issues and challenges for Africa and the developing world. We also coordinate the ISA Southern African activities. our DDG, Dr. Mabetwa, serves on the board of International Social Service. This organization is mostly responsible for inter-country adoptions. This is where we sit and share experiences. We also participate, and the minister sits on the board of the Partners in Population and Development. Again, this organization has helped us in terms of capacity building on issues around population and development. We now see a mushrooming of a number of international engagements, and the new one that we sit in as a country is BRICS, where Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa are involved. Our Director General has been mandated to look at the possibility of coming up with something or a committee on social security related to BRICS. We should have hosted a meeting in February, but unfortunately, because of other reasons, we could not, and it's something that as a department we are looking at. In terms of events that are coming up, maybe I should explain to honorable members that we usually only work on invitations that come directly to the Director General, to the Minister, to the Deputy Minister, or if they come through DICO or the Presidency. We usually discourage officials to come up with personal invitations from the internet, and we only work with official invitations. And what we do as international relations is that we will draft a submission, we check the issues around the budget, the CFO has to approve, the Director General has to approve, and all our international engagements, particularly traveling, are approved by the Minister. Now, as I've indicated, in terms of incoming events that we know of, we are going to host the Brazilian Minister. We will be hosting a delegation from Lesotho on the 14th and 15th of March. We are going to host a delegation from Thailand. What we have also seen now is the mushrooming of countries coming to benchmark in South Africa, particularly in our social security system. And I was saying to my colleague, Gigi, that maybe it's because we're doing well. That's why almost all the countries, either in Africa or the developed countries, will come to us on issues around social security. In terms of outgoing events, as I've indicated, 24 February to 7th of March, the minister was participating in the Commission on the Status of Women. On the Status of Women, the Ministry for Women is the lead department, so we get invited and then we participate. In April, we'll be participating in the Commission on Population and Development. There's a board meeting in Geneva, International Social Services meeting, where Dr. Mabetwa will be participating in. We know that the European Forum for Restorative Justice will be coming up in June. We don't have the dates as yet. The Commission on Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice in April. There's going to be a bilateral visit to Australia and India, where the minister is going to lead the delegation. We are currently working with DICO on that, and we are also going to have the International AIDS Conference on the 22nd to the 27th of July in Washington in the USA. In terms of governance issues, as a department, we have developed guidelines on coordination of all our international relations engagements. Here we look at issues around finances, issues around insurance, issues around conduct during meetings and reporting. If an official travels within 14 days, an official should produce a report. We look at issues around types of accommodation that officials can use and the roles and responsibilities. We also participate in the cluster where we report regularly. We have an internal coordinating structure where programs that have interest in international relations participate. We report regularly to MANCO. MANCO is our management meeting in the department. We also have the International Relations Coordinating Committee where we sit with provinces. Here we are trying to avoid duplication, where you find Limpopo province traveling to Cuba on issues around youth. The Northern Cape, the same thing. The National Department, the same thing. Now, what we usually promote is that when the minister travels or when the DG travels, they should also travel. If it's the DG, then there should be HODs from other provinces, and it has worked well. We have also drafted the engagement strategy, which is based on the government white paper on international relations. We also have an internet page on international relations in the department, where information on international relations is available. Officials can access and post all reports and activities. Now, in terms of the benefits, as I've indicated, social development is now on top of the agenda of SADC, AU, and UN. We initiated and hosted the SADC Ministers of Social Development twice. And since then, because of the challenges that I've indicated, we have never had a meeting of SADC Social Development Ministers. Our benchmarking exercises have contributed to strengthening policy and program development, including the establishment of SASA. Capacity of officials in negotiations, conflict resolution, international project management has been enhanced, and many countries have gained through visiting the department. We are also working with the University of Oxford on the training of social policy, and I think we have trained now more than 100 officials on social policy. We are working with the Carleton University from Canada on monitoring and evaluation. Last year, we had 4 officials visiting Canada, and probably this year, we're also going to have some. We also have a partnership with the University of KwaZulu-Natal on issues around population development. In terms of the challenges, the major challenge that we sit with is that we don't have a set calendar of international engagements. Usually, you will just get information that there's a joint bilateral commission with Mexico where you should participate either internally or externally. What we do is we usually try and communicate with DICO so that we get regular updates. The only engagements that we are able to control are the engagements that reside in the department, but most of them are coordinated through DICO through the various desks. The other major challenge, and that's why in certain instances you will sign an agreement and there's nothing much. The major challenge is that partner countries do not have funds to implement projects. You can agree with the DRC that we are going to have capacity building on this aspect, but then it is more South Africa that must go out and look for funds or look for technical support. And at times, I think donors are also getting saturated. So it becomes a problem. Even though we promote the exchange of documentation, of information, but in terms of project implementation, sometimes it's a challenge. What we also do is we promote trilateral cooperation, where on the issue of UNICEF, like the work that we are doing with Zimbabwe on unaccompanied minors, we are working with UNICEF. So we always invite other third parties to come and assist us. The other challenge is the mushrooming of international engagements. When we established this directorate in the department, we didn't have NEPAD, we didn't have IPSA, we didn't have BRICS, so we'll always, as a department, be faced with the mushrooming of international engagements, and I think as a department, we are managing well to deal with those issues. And then, in conclusion, I think we just wanted to emphasize that international relations is about partnership. South Africa is now a member of the international community, and as the DG has indicated, we cannot shy away from our responsibilities. It's about communication, and it's about taking responsibility. I think we should also acknowledge that the department has made a huge mark internationally. There are still challenges because of limitations, but I think we have done very well. And again, the department remains committed to capacity building of all officials. I think one thing that the DG has managed to do is to promote a generational mix. You don't only get senior officials attending your UN meetings. You get an assistant director, you get your deputy directors, even your admin officers where it is possible, so that then you can build capacity. And finally, international relations is not about instant results, but about the big picture. Sometimes you will sign an agreement with Lesotho and not have a project for a year. Because you don't only need Lesotho for project development, but you need them for support when you go to SADC, you need them for support when you go to the AU, and when you go to the UN. Honorable members, in short, this is the presentation that we wanted to make on our international engagements. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have any words, concluding remarks? Or will you do that at the end of the presentation? I mean, end of the session? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for that presentation. Members, you do have the narrative and then the PowerPoint presentation. Can I just get an indication of honourable members that would like to ask questions, please? Honourable Member Masilo.
Thank you very much.
No, I just want to know about the members. Honourable Member Mora. Is that all? Okay. Thank you, Honourable Member Masilo.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, DG and the presenter. I just want to thank the presentation because I think it's a very, very important and valuable one. unfortunately, we only got the presentation today and the documents. The clarity that I need to ask Hori, do we have a budget for this international relation? Because according to this presentation, there's a lot that you have done as a department. And the question is that, do we have enough budget or set aside for international relations? And the last question was the status of women. But at least I got the understanding that you got invitations from the women ministry, because I was just going to ask, where do we feature, because we've got this women minister that deals with the gender issues. But at least you clear it off by saying you went there through that invitation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member Mora.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. On slide, I don't know, it's page 8 on mine, continued prioritization of the African continent. The Zimbabwe, the second column. An agreement has been signed. When was this signed, and when is the implementation, you know, date? Okay. If you move further on, you've spoken about $3 million being spent to train. Was it our officials training in Zimbabwe or Zimbabwe training here? I've got a little confused there. You're running so fast with presentation; it was difficult to just catch up. And then on minus page 12, integration of the SADC, the economic slide, on current status, it says the department participated in various SADC meetings on youth and victim empowerment, and you know in our country we've got a huge problem when it comes to that. I just wanted to know the date when, you know, this forum was held, and what was the outcome and conclusion of the whole workshop, you know, in terms of these are the outcomes, this is what we're going to do in terms of project and implementation. Because I've seen a lot of us attend these things, and when you come back, nothing happens. You know, it's very, very interesting that we responded to both the UN Declaration and the Human Rights in terms of establishing the minimum standards of service. I think that was in 2002. But what will be interesting is to say, has any evaluation been done to check the compliance, you know, to say, are we complying? Because we always come up with the standards and everything, but in terms of compliance, you find that there's zero. And the early childhood development workshop in Russia, when exactly was this? And again, what were the outcome and recommendations from this? Are we really, really benefiting? This one is a comment. I'm really impressed on the current status where you've spoken about different countries and how we work with them, you know, trying to copy what works in different countries like that. I'm very, very impressed. But it seems like there's so much to be done in terms of all this, and, you know, we need cooperation, management, and a good leadership when it comes to that. I think that is all for now, Chair Person. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. If we look at the narrative in front of us, honourable members, and you go to partnerships and agreements with the different countries, We the it is it's the content of the agreement or the gist of the agreement is then spelled out in that summary on each page. But I think Mrs. Honourable Moore has a point in terms of the progress. I think one of the reports I want to propose to the committee is that we get progress reports from the department on the relationships and the bilateral agreements that you've signed with the different countries, how far you've come. I think Mr. Ramenite, in his opening remarks or during the presentation, did mention that it takes a bit of time before the agreement gets off the ground. Now, that we do understand. I'm sure even the agreements have a shelf life, so they won't be there for infinity. So could we get that report, progress report, on the agreements that you've signed and how far you are? I think what fruit have these agreements brought, and what is still in the pipeline? I'm sure if you look at certain of the countries like Tunisia, they have been, I don't know whether I should call them victims of the Arab Spring or participants. Let me call them participants of the Arab Spring. But obviously this you'll have to revisit the agreement. And it all depends whether the current transitional government is in favor of the agreement or not. So I'm sure those dynamics, you do have to keep the committee abreast of those dynamics. The issue around cooperation with the South Sudan in terms of social security, to me that is of particular interest, because it is a country going through tremendous change. It's a new nation. I think it's the newest nation in the world. So to us, I think that is very important. The issue of social security that really provides a lifeline to communities in dire poverty. So I would be really interested to see what kind of model the Sudanese is coming up with. The other issue that I would like to bring to members' attention is the fact that in terms of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development, if we look at the work that the Department of Social Development is doing and where we stand in terms of as a portfolio committee, and you look at the committees in Parliament, if you look at the Portfolio Committee on Women and Children and Persons with Disabilities, in terms of the focus on children seems to be going to, and the participation of at international fora in terms of children's issues, children's rights, social justice issues, has been rather deferred to the portfolio committee, to that portfolio committee. So I think in some way we need to study this document as a portfolio committee and reassert ourselves as a committee in terms of on which fora we want to participate as a portfolio committee. I even look at the international conference in the USA coming up on HIV/AIDS. I'm sure logically people would say that the portfolio committee should participate, on health should participate in it. But even as social development, we have a role to play. And I'm sure even as a sector department, that the Department of Social Development will be participating in the conference. So where does it leave us as a portfolio committee? And I think that is something that we need to discuss as a portfolio committee when we deliberate on our report to Parliament. We've engaged several United Nations agencies as a portfolio committee, and where do we position ourselves in terms of that. We also, like the department, we also have international associations of social development. And should we, as a committee, take a decision that we want to belong to those associations? In terms of networking, I'm sure it's going to help us a lot through the internet, the IPU system that is there, through SADC, Parliamentary Union. I'm sure there's a lot of benefits for us. So I think those issues that we need to discuss as a committee. But what I would also like to direct to the DG is to say that DG, where you could find a role for the portfolio committee to play, to approach the committee on the, in that regard, I think that is very important, because you have a longer network, you have a much more broader network than the committee, since we are all new since 2009, in terms of so that we can then evaluate to see what kind of role we can play. I don't want to say that when you get invited to international forums, you invite us along, because we are not a department, we are parliament. But so that we can also evaluate our participation as a portfolio committee. And I think that is some of the issues that we need to look at. I want to ask you one question that was not reflected in the presentation, but it's quite relevant because it's in the public domain. It's the issue of drug mules and our citizens ending up in foreign jails. We've seen our citizens being executed in other countries, and I'm sure that somehow the Department of Social Development do play a role in terms of knowing who's who, who's where, what's happening, but also then looking at the particular needs of those prisoners in certain countries. Now, consular services aside, that the consulates and the embassies provide, but some of these women, they have minor children and so on and so on and so on. So it was quite embarrassing when we were in Brazil, because just the previous week, 4 South Africans were arrested in Sao Paulo and then also in Argentina on drug mule charges. And the South African delegation was coming, and we also spoke about, because we had these perceptions about Brazil in terms of substance abuse, cocaine and issues like that, and we asked those questions. So you could see that there was, from what the briefing that we got from our embassy was, that there is quite a lot of South Africans in Brazilian prisons, but also in other South American prisons. So I want to ask you 2 questions. What role is social development playing in terms of prevention? And linking it also to your international relations program, but bringing to the population's attention the dire consequences of taking packages, fearing being drug mules, I would say in Afrikaans is slaggat. I don't know what you call it. Potholes, loopholes, opportunists, the kind of scams that are out there to get people to be drug mules. Because if people are, you could see the profile of people that were caught. They were desperate, didn't have money, they were sick, most of them were HIV positive, they wanted to make a quick buck. And we know that there is no thing as easy money in this world. So how do you bring to the attention of the African population that this is going to be, this is where you're going to end up. This is the consequences if you embark on this path. I don't think that it is just the responsibility of the South African Police Service, but also of social development, because there's other repercussions involved. So what is the role of the Department of Social Development in that regard? Because we've discussed it as a committee, and we've seen that, we've heard about it. We've gotten correspondence, and I've got correspondence from a person in a Turkish jail about just that, please warn people not to do what I have done, because this is where I'm landing up, and she's now spending about 17 years in a Turkish jail for trafficking cocaine. So, let me just stop there. Anyone else?
I'm a Kenyan woman.
Thank you, Chairperson. I apologize for being late. I'm from another meeting. My question is on the issue of, as we say that the government, we want to create a better South Africa, a better Africa, and also a better West. Yes, I understand that there are these engagements with international issues, but my question is that I don't see, yes, I understand that on the African Union, ministers do meet in the current status. But my problem is that I don't see any gap. I see a gap here where I don't see you talking about the NEPAD and also the African peer review mechanism, because our aim is to strengthen Africa before we strengthen the international world. We strengthen the world, the world. What is the role of the NEPAD and also to look at, do you also engage the African peer review mechanism program? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must also extend my apologies for being late. Chairperson, I think you have actually hit the nail on the head. And when you look at the international phenomena, and quite correctly when we as a country are placed in this kind of a predicament, we look at our legislation, we look at our policies as to how we can bring relief and assistance to those that are affected. But having said that, Chairperson, I have not been part of the process of the presentation, and you might, at your discretion, rule me out if you feel that I'm out of order. But Chairperson, under the slide 19 on the UN organization, it's just a pity that you were not around in the last meeting last week. And I know it had been a UN phenomenon about the issue about widows and those there. And I know that the DG indicated that he was going to investigate a policy imperatives. So that leads me to ask, in terms of your international agreements, have you actually had any insight of such phenomena, such information, where you can compare research material to devise policy imperatives? Chair, the escalating problems of drugs, and quite correctly you pointed out, you know, where you have these peddlers and all that are running. My question is directed towards, this is a growing problem. And as a country, we cannot continue to build prisons and, you know. I'm extremely concerned. Is there any practices within our agreements internationally that has a tremendous impact on programs that perhaps we can learn and initiate in our country that can address these problems of growing drug issues? The other one I just wanted to check, Chair, in participation with our international agreements, and this area of concern is the issue of the different various types of drugs that are going out amongst our youth. Have we learned from any international agreements on the issue of narcotic drugs that can be used as a example to implement that would assist in dealing with the drug issues of our countries? Thank you, Chavez.
Thank you, Chair. Let me put my apology and thanks for the presentation. Mine is just a small question. I agree with the presenter that all
the countries are flocking into South Africa, and that shows that we are doing good job. And what do we gain from them when they are gaining something out of us? And then the other one is, I'm interested, you remember when the minister was still Honorable Edna Molewa, there was another presentation that we held. It was talking about the children, that every country should take care of children. I'm just interested on that agreement. I don't remember it well, but it was talking that even if the mother is arrested that side with drugs, children is the responsibility of that country. I just want to understand it now. Thanks.
Thank you. If you've sorted, that's it. Yeah, thanks. Did you over to you? Responses?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. A sizable number of questions and comments have been made. Well, I have my colleagues here on some of the specific questions. Perhaps let me comment more directly on the broader issues that you specifically raised, Madam Chair. We will provide a report on the signed agreements as you've requested, and we will set out in that report what fruits have been derived and what is still in the pipeline to be achieved through these agreements. Yes, the specific issues that you've raised, including the cooperation with South Sudan on matters of social security, those we will certainly focus on. On matters relating to the role of the committee, in this international engagement, I think it is important that we perhaps together with the committee must have a session where we look at the international relations profile of social development and then identify areas where the committee believes it could have a specific role to play. We could also make suggestions in the context of such a conversation as to exactly what kind of relationships or engagements can we devise for the committee. I know that at this point I don't want to speculate much about whether there's any relationship between the committee here and perhaps presumably similar committees even in the African Parliament. And relationships with portfolio committees in those countries with which we have bilateral arrangements, so that we see how at the portfolio committee level parliaments in both countries could be empowered on both sides to monitor progress, but also just at that level exchange information on exactly what is going on there, what their experiences are. I mean, we'll always get a refreshing perspective from members of the committee based on the exposure they get when they visit constituencies, when they go out to communities, that there's a lot of insight that gets brought out of those kinds of things. So that perhaps those kinds of engagements with the counterpart portfolio committees could assist a great deal. But I don't pretend that we can exhaust that topic here and now, but that perhaps a session would be necessary to put together so that we could then throw in some ideas on how those matters could be dealt with. The issues relating to drug mules, especially with regard to South African citizens who are held in foreign prisons, the issues are slightly more complex than that. In fact, there is a finding that how many people who are held in foreign prisons who, based on their passports, are said to be South African. But when you go deeper, you find that these people are not. It has been very easy for people to access South African documents, travel documents, to use to go elsewhere. and they would be identified as South Africans. But in fact, some of those, in fact, in the recent case, have been found to be Zimbabweans who have used South African passports. But that doesn't mean that there aren't South Africans who are held in foreign prisons. And perhaps that's what I should address myself to. I think up to now, as a country, we have dealt with issues of drug trafficking purely as a transnational crime. And we have looked at it from the point of view of how do we combat it purely as a crime and not as a social phenomenon. So we actually haven't, I must admit, we haven't, and perhaps Dr. Mabetsa can correct me, but we haven't had a program, a social program that targets would-be drug mules with a view to informing them about the consequences of that as a crime, but also as a social phenomenon. I don't think we've done that. We've basically targeted specific groups through our various programs, talking about the dangers of drugs to health, to livelihoods and the future, and not so much about the risks of, we've been focusing more on the use and abuse of drugs rather than the risk associated with the crime that people commit, in a sense. So it's possibly an area we need to open ourselves to, and then perhaps devise a response that is programmatic to look at how then do we make sure that we target people. And I think Chairperson, you're quite right in that many people who find themselves in these situations are people who are hoping to get themselves out of poverty. And that actually places them within the purview of the work that we do generally, not only on substance abuse, but on our fight against poverty. And the risks of people who live in poverty, the risks that people are exposed to with regard to the possibility of them being ensnared into these kinds of crime networks. We will definitely have to look at that specifically. With regard to especially those who get executed, it is quite a complex issue, but certainly one that resides outside the purview of the Department of Social Development, whether out of our respect for the right to life, we could make representations as a country to a country that is holding a South African citizen in their jail, where such a South African has been sentenced to death, whether we could make representations to request for a stay of execution, either simply plead for that kind of sentence to be translated to life imprisonment, or possibly even ask that this person be brought back here and that we could keep them in prison for that specific period of time. It's a matter that I think our justice cluster, perhaps even our international relations cluster, may be best placed to investigate. But of particular importance to us would be issues relating to children who may even be born in prison by South Africans. We currently actually do have a program which resides under our welfare services, which deals with repatriating children born of mothers who are in foreign jails. We have, over the last few years, gone especially to Brazil to bring home children who are born of parents who are in foreign jails, in Brazilian jails in particular. I'm not aware of children who have been left out of that program. Dr. Mabetsa might be able to share that information if there is. But we definitely have this program that responds specifically to children whose parents are in jail out there, with the view to reuniting these children with the families of their parents. Madam Chair, I think you've raised some really thought-provoking issues today, and we need to think more about those, and we will certainly come back. Honourable Member Bula, I think the issue of widows, we did say, in addition to what I said, I think my colleague, Mr. Tohoma, who sits at somewhere towards my right, indicated that there are policy imperatives which are not specific to widows, but could generally speak to survivors. We're talking about survivors' benefits in the context of social security, whether you're a widow or a widower. We have those kinds of programs. I'm not aware, maybe Mr. Tohoma will assess this, if there are other programs that we may have drawn from elsewhere in our international engagements. What do we stand to gain from those that gain from us? I think the especially those countries that come from the African continent, one of the biggest challenges is that South Africa, if you look at migration trends, has got more pull factors. And your greatest pull factors is that South Africa has the kind of social security system that it has. Refugees in South Africa are now entitled to the kind of benefits that ordinarily would be limited to South African citizens. A person would choose to be a refugee in South Africa than be a refugee elsewhere, in part because of that. So what we are saying is what we stand to gain may not be immediate. And the point that we made about the bigger picture is that even as South Africa looks at this protocol, which talks about protocol on free movement of in persons and goods in the SADC, that the only way in which we can stem the tide of people only moving to South Africa is by assisting countries in the SADC and beyond to establish similar programs that we have, so that in that way you're not seen as simply preventing people from coming into your country so they can die in poverty elsewhere, but that you help those countries to develop systems that can encourage people to stay there, develop their own countries, those governments to develop their own people. So it's an indirect benefit from that sense, Madam Chair. I hope it sounds like a long shot, I know, but certainly even out of our responsibility to make sure that the African continent is a better place, we do so through cajoling, through allowing people to learn from us. Many countries actually don't think it is possible to do what South Africa is doing. They think we are able to do it because we have the mines, we have many other things that they don't have, the mineral resources, that is. But in fact, increasingly, it is being proved that these things are possible and they are in fact sustainable. And many countries have taken on those programs and they are continuing to engage with us to see how we are sustaining these things. So some of the benefits that we get are indirect from that point of view, Madam Chair. But let me defer the other questions to my colleagues seated around the table for them to field them. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thanks, DJ, honourable members. On the issue of the budget, we don't have a central budget for international engagement at the International Relations Directorate. So each branch will have its own budget, and provinces will also have their own budget, so that they can pay for either incoming visits or outgoing visits. But as I've also indicated, we work with a number of international partners. Almost half of the outgoing and incoming engagements or trips are paid for by either SADC,
the AU, the UN, the EU, or other international partners. But we don't have a central budget. And each time when we do strategic planning, programs are encouraged to budget for their international activities. That's why even the submission for traveling will have to go to the CFO, who will then indicate if there is a budget for that activity. In terms of Zimbabwe, the agreement was signed by Minister Dlamini in November last year. We have already drafted an implementation plan. Once we sign an agreement, we draft an implementation plan. And again, on issues around unaccompanied minors, there's going to be a meeting in Musina towards the end of this month to plan for the national workshop and the regional workshop. And we have already made a proposal to the DG and to the minister that the working group should meet to finalize their projects. The 3 million that we talked about was for the training of DRC officials. Almost most government departments had officials based in the DRC, and we were using Balama, our own training agency, to do the training. But as departments, we had to pay Balama. But again, DIRCO has the African Renaissance Fund, which is also responsible for funding some of our partnerships with Africa. And what we do as departments from time to time, we do request assistance from DIRCO for this funding. The SADC, the ministerial meeting was held in Namibia in June last year, and our deputy minister participated. As I've indicated, with SADC, the challenge that we are sitting with is that they rely more on donor support. So you don't usually get the support that you will get. If they get money from the EU on issues around youth, then they will have something on youth. But usually now, we don't see much happening in terms of social development. But we are always, and that's why South Africa has advocated for the strengthening of the SADC secretariat and the AU secretariat. We will make the report of the meeting available, but it was on issues around integration of policies for youth development and victim empowerment. On the human rights issue, maybe the DG, that's just give that because he was chairing the our inputs on the UN Human Rights Commission. Each department was requested to report on areas that affect the human rights areas that affect the department, and South Africa just presented its report on human rights. We will also make this report available, which has been approved by Cabinet. We do work with the Ministry of Women on a number of issues. Even the Convention on Disability resides mostly in the Ministry of Women, and our directorate works with the Ministry for Women. But again, as I've indicated, the Commission on the Status of Women was coordinated by them. In terms of the African Union, at the UN, we negotiate on the NEPAD resolution on social development. What we realized as a department with DIRCO is that NEPAD focused more on economic, trade, agricultural issues, and there was nothing much on social development. So South Africa, through DIRCO, for the first time introduced a resolution on the social dimension of NEPAD. We were communicating with DIRCO last week that we need to refocus the NEPAD resolution. It was the directive that we received from the DG after the Commission on the Status of Women. And the chief director responsible for social development organizations is going to call a workshop where we are going to redefine the social dimensions of NEPAD. We do participate in the African peer review mechanism, even though it is coordinated by the Department of Public Administration, but we are from time to time, particularly on those issues that are related to social development, they do send out questionnaires where we make inputs on the final country report on the African peer review mechanism. On Tunisia, I would agree with Madam Chair. It is just not really unfortunate because they had those challenges, but Tunisia was one of the countries that was said it's almost on its way to meet the MDGs by the year 2015, and there's quite a lot that we can learn from Tunisia. On early childhood, the conference that was in Russia, I don't have the dates, but we have the reports. I'm not sure that Dr. Mabetwa would have the list, but we have the report that we are going to submit to the portfolio committee. And the issue of South Sudan is true, it's important. We've already been directed by the cluster to work with South Sudan. And my other colleagues can deal with the other issues that.
Okay, thank you. I'll just follow up on early childhood development. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chair and honourable members. I will make add on the early childhood development. The conference, the topic of the conference was early childhood care and education. It was held in Moscow in September from the 27th to the 29th in 2010. And there were a number of South African delegates that attended that conference. The outcome of the conference is in the report. I'll just, you know, talk to the outcome very briefly. It came out the conference came out with resolutions that were really not new to us in South Africa. It's some of the issues that we're battling with at the moment or that we have confirmed. For example, that early childhood and maternal health and nutrition reinforces educational prospects and that it improves attendance and performance, especially at primary level, at primary school level and later on and beyond. And that early intervention through early childhood development, why it's such an important program in the countries, because it reduces social inequalities, because children who go to ECD, they prosper later on in life. And then that, you know, investing in ECD definitely pays off. The gaps that were identified include that policy framework across, you know, the other countries is still very weak, that it's that there's no holistic, you know, approach towards early childhood development, and that early childhood development in all the countries still remains in the periphery of other, you know, important, you know, programs in the countries, and that institutional delivery is very weak. And this is what we are trying to strengthen in the country, that intersectoral collaboration. We hope that with a conference that is that's coming at the end of this month, that we'll come up with strong recommendations with regard to institutional arrangements for ECD. And access is still inadequate. It's happening here in the country. A small percentage of children access ECD. And also it's inequitable. Not all children access it, especially those in the rural areas. Here they also indicated that fragile states and countries in conflict and post-conflict situations, their children do not access early childhood development. Children with disabilities were also highlighted that they do not have access to appropriate early childhood development, and quality is uneven. Yeah, quality is the main thing. We can have as much access as we want, but if the quality is not enhanced, those children will not benefit. These were the outcomes of that conference. And if I look at our programs for this upcoming conference on early childhood development, these issues are covered, especially the gaps in terms of policy development. Thank you. On the drug mules, I think the DG has covered all the aspects, but I also wanted to input here by saying most of the people that are incarcerated in other countries, especially women who've left their children behind, the Department of Social Development, through our International Social Service Office and through DECO, we are contacted so that we can ensure that their children are either in alternative care or properly cared for by their relatives. And of course, DG has mentioned we don't have any specific programs that alert our young girls, about, you know, the danger of carrying drugs to other or trafficking drugs. We have generic programs like the Moja, the Live Life program, the Masubasela, but they are inclusive, but they don't have a specific focus. And I think it's a good recommendation that we have to ensure that at least the girls and even the boys have access to such information. I think that's all. Thank you.
Maybe.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. Just brief responses in respect of two questions, one related to widows. I think in all the traveling that we've done, it is fair to say that we have not, and maybe because we have not looked deep into whether they have very specific policies that kind of bring together the various interventions in respect of widows or widowers. What we have found is really two parts of it. The one is in respect of most developed countries will have mandatory retirement and disability and survivor benefit systems that will then ensure that in the event of the death of a breadwinner, that there's an income stream or an annuity for almost the remainder of that person's life. And of course, that's coupled with social services. The other part, which is fairly big, is normally what is referred to lone parents, so that where the widow, where she has caring responsibility of children, there will be, from a social assistance point of view, both an income or social assistance for the children and an income social assistance for the widow. So those are what we know, but we will definitely do some more investigation when next we have an opportunity. I'd like to just take an opportunity to add to a response that relates to the question that asked, you know, with so many countries visiting us, what is it that we get from it? I think it is fair to say that within Social Security, we've gone through two rounds of exchanges. From 2000 to 2005, a lot of our attention was spent on improving social assistance delivery. And to that extent, we visited in the main developed countries because there weren't much that we could gain from developing countries. Hence, we covered countries like Australia, the Netherlands, the UK, Sweden, with a view of improving our administration and with a view of establishing SASA. The success coming from those have in fact resulted in many developing countries visiting South Africa because they not only learned from the social assistance policies, but the fact that we had in the main very good coverage on the one hand, and two, that many of them admired the fact that our social grants to children went without conditionalities, and some of them wanted to explore that. The second round of interactions and agreements related to the current work that we're busy with, and that social security reform, with a view to establish a mandatory pension system. And there we have again learned from countries like Brazil, Mexico, Chile, Argentina. So we've gone out there to learn from them. The countries, I should say, and it's not necessarily 100% the truth, and DJ must bear me out, that most of the countries that visit us, and we're saying it in modesty, we generally can't learn a lot from them because in the development part they are behind us. Even countries that from a development or economic point are ahead of us and have come to visit us, such as China and Taiwan, it's because they have not had very big social assistance programs. They are now beginning to implement it and they've learned from us. And I, again in modesty, they say that once we have implemented the social insurance reforms, we probably would have in 5 to 10 years time, again, countries visiting us. Again, not countries we've learned from, but countries that, in Africa especially, do not have the social insurance programs that we're about to put in place. So the learning process is seldom reciprocal, except perhaps for Latin America, Brazil, Mexico. They've come to learn from us, we've learned from them. But generally we learn from countries that we can't teach much, and countries that learn from us, we can't gain much from them. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think just a slightly a different angle in relation to the issue that the DG and the colleague was just addressing. There might be some issues which I think are going to be much more pronounced in terms of what benefit we could get from some of these developing countries as we now take social development much more strongly to communities. I'm thinking, for example, in the case of Uganda. Uganda has done some amazing things with the NGO and the NPO network. And there's no doubt that there are a lot of experience that we're going to get from that as we begin to actually look at the NPO and the NGO sector to align it with the mandate of government with reference to social development. The other angle which the Honorable Chairperson raised, which is quite an interesting dimension in terms of Tunisia. Yes, Tunisia was said to be really on its way with the MDG targets, but the Arab Spring has actually revealed something about the social dynamics, you know, in Tunisia. And therefore, I think we might also actually have to look very closely into that and actually say that what are those social dynamics that they did not capture, which we need to capture as we actually try to, you know, meet our own targets. And then the third issue is, Honorable Chairperson and portfolio members, that it is clear if you look at the work of the department in the IR field, it's becoming more clear that I think social development has actually become an expression for foreign policy, you know, for us. And I think in reinforcing the point that the chairperson of the portfolio was raising with regards to the active role of the portfolio committee, I think that role couldn't be more urgent now, particularly when even the ruling party is actually grappling with defining the African agenda. And if you look at what this department is doing right now, I think that there are issues that actually need to be captured at a political level so that they actually, you know, get transmitted into that kind of debate. Thank you.
No, thank you, DG and delegation and Mr. Shezi. We last year, myself and Honorable Member Kopane met a delegation from Uganda, which consisted, I think, of the Minister of Finance, Health, and Minister of the Presidency. It was quite a high-level delegation. And also the chairperson in the Parliament on social development and population issues. So we had a very good discussion. And they've also been extended an invitation to the portfolio committee to visit Uganda and exchange ideas and obviously also look at policy issues. They did indicate that they did meet with the Department of Social Development. They met with the minister and the presidency on planning and I think also monitoring and so on, and the Minister of Social Development and Health. So they had quite a busy schedule. So I think the meeting with us was like the last stop visit, and we were going back. I don't think they were flying to Kampala from here. They were very interested in terms of the work that we are doing as a portfolio committee, and also they were quite interested in our relationship as a multi-party democracy in Parliament. So we gave them that perspective, but also in terms of the work of the committee. So, yes, so from our side there has been that interaction, and they were hosted by the Department of International Relations in Parliament. So the parliamentary, the international desk, as we call it. So I would say that there will then be, if there's an invitation from the Ugandan parliament, an ongoing interaction, but that link has been established. The other issue that I just want to raise with you, DG, is this narrative that has been sent to us international relations activities on the Department of Social Development is so badly tapped that I think we should give it back to the department. The agreements, the reports, that is outstanding, that you rather attach it. You have it retyped and then just attach the outstanding reports that we've requested. So I would ask members rather to give it back. I'm sure there was a gremlin on the system and the computer, but this is not the standard of work that I usually get from the department. Honourable members, that is the briefing to the portfolio committee by the Department on International Engagement. We will deliberate on it more when we engage the minutes. And the issues that you've raised have been taken into account. We also want to thank the department for their responses. We'll now go to the second item on the agenda, which is the adoption of the committee, it just say the consideration of the committee report on state-owned enterprise.
Okay.
I'm going to ask Ms. Nogenga to do the presentation. But before that, if you'd like to take a 5-minute body break. And I've got a huge watch with a huge black face. So it's now 11:45. 10:45, we should all be seated.
Thank you.